Well, hello. It's Shift Church. It's Tim Carter, and it is Sarah. Say good evening, Sarah.
Good evening, everybody.
And it's Sean. Say good evening, Sean.
Hello, everybody.
So if you're with us live on Facebook, you can start saying hello on the comments stream, saying hello to us, saying hello to each other. And if you're not, if you're catching up later,
welcome to the comments stream.
Somebody's got their phone not on mute. I don't see a smile on Sean's face.
It's Sean.
Yeah, sorry.
Oops, from Sean there. Anyway, yes, welcome to Shift Church. If you are, where I got to? If you're live, yeah, joining on the comment stream. If you're catching up on Facebook or YouTube or the podcast later, hello to you as well. You're just as much part of this as anything else.
Absolutely.
Different time in the week, but it's Shift Church, so it shifts time, it shifts places, and that's really important. So if you want to join in and contribute, email me tim@allsaints-wellington.org. I haven't had an email for a little while, so well, actually no, I've had lots of emails. I have many emails, but I haven't had any emails specifically from people catching up with Shift Church. I should say,
come on folks.
Well, you don't have to talk about it with a friend or on the Facebook group. Yes, because we have a Facebook group as well. You can join part of. We've put some of the videos that we share on there as well, so people can catch up in the week. So this week we are starting to get towards the Advent season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, starting to look towards Christmas. Wow. Month to day, it will be Christmas Eve.
Oh, don't. For those who are on the podcast, I'm covering my ears. I don't want to hear it.
I've only just realised that. It's the 24th of November today. I've realised that it is the 24th of November, but the implications of it being the 24th of November. Have we done who's bought all their Christmas? Who's bought the most Christmas presents yet? Who on stream has bought all their Christmas presents? Who on the stream has bought none of their Christmas presents? Where? What about us? I am on none.
I bought four.
Ooh.
Hang on a minute. They're four big bags of chocolates that were on special when I did the shop.
Right.
No, it's a bit cheating, really. I don't know who the four are in my stocking fillers. So.
Well, Ali said she's bought nearly all of hers.
Ali.
Yes.
I'm impressed and shocked at the same time.
Yes.
To be fair, I don't buy very many.
Of course you don't. You're a man. Liz buys them all.
In my defense, there isn't a defense. But when the kids were little, because Liz's birthday is really close to Christmas, when the kids were little and she needed to have a prezi from me and from my daughter and from my son for Christmas and birthday. There were quite a few years where at about this time of year, a little bit later usually, in about another 3 weeks, I would be trying to buy six different presents for Liz. That was a challenge at times. But it's much better now because the kids are old enough to buy their own, so I don't have to do that anymore. So now I'm down to two.
There you go. Oh. I thought you were going to say this time of year I would bribe someone to go and get some presents for me.
Oh, no.
Liz, you didn't do that.
Well, Liz has said that she hasn't bought any, but I don't know whether this is the same, but I was speaking to Paul and he tells me that he had a Christmas a couple of days ago. Does that count?
I don't know. And it's not true that Liz hasn't, because there's a huge pile of chocolates in the kitchen, which I know is Christmas presents for people. So she has started buying some, because I've been told I can't eat it. I've been told that.
How about cards? Okay. Well, I've got Elizabeth says she's bought all of her cards.
Oh, there you are.
Does that count?
No. Anyway, whether or not we are prepared for Christmas, I hope we're all prepared for Jesus' return. And if we're not, that's what Advent is all about. So yes, we'll be thinking about that over the coming weeks, being completely ready for Jesus' return, however ready we are for celebrating his birth. And this last week, it's not quite Advent yet, but it's all tied up because this last week was the Feast of Christ the King. We were celebrating Jesus and his kingdom, and Advent is all about Jesus the King returning to bring his kingdom in full force. So we're going to have a poem in a minute. It's around the theme of Jesus the King and who Jesus is. It's quite high energy.
Just like us.
Like you anyway, Sarah, not like Smith tonight. So it's not quite as reflective as some of the ones we have earlier, but sometimes, but I thought it'd be, Sarah sent it to me. I thought, yeah, that would be good. So let's prepare to be wowed by all that Jesus is. If you're with us live, but if you're out and about, whatever you're doing, washing the car, at work, listening, tuning in, just take a breath. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to give us a fresh vision of who Jesus is to us right now.
Amen.
Okay, so let's do this.
He is more than you could ever need. He's more than the eye could see. I don't deserve his love, but he's always been there for me. You see, Jesus met me when I was at my lowest. And if you don't know Jesus, know this. He is the greatest example of generosity this world of greed has ever seen. And when Jesus hit the scene, he changed the scenery and met diversity with serenity. If you're looking for peace, he offers plenty. Jesus was and Jesus will forever be king. And when the angels sing, they sing of the grace that was displayed for sinners like me. I can't explain him and I can't describe him. And if I could, he wouldn't be Jesus, because you can't explain eternity and you can't comprehend the galaxies. But it was the loving hands of Jesus who spun them into existence and created man, knowing he would go to the cross to pay our sentence. There was a certificate of judgment with a period after the sentence, and we were sentenced to death long before he said, "It is finished." He is a father to the orphan, a shelter for the homeless, a hiding place for the abused, and an anchor for our storms. He stormed the gates of hell and came out on top, and the power of his gospel cannot be stopped, even when the world tries. They try a lot. He traded places with Barabbas and became the catalyst of missions across the world, covering every portion of the Atlas. If you're in need of rest, I know of a mattress. If you don't know Jesus, your future is tragic, but he gladly embraced tragedy so we could live in his presence of majesty. His presence is presence, and it's his presence that presents preciousness to a world of peasants. He is far from pretentious, but still loves those who are. He is the light of the world and hung the stars. He brings the dead to life and delivers life to the dead. He took a crown of thorns on his head so we could put crowns at his feet, and I can't wait until I get to kiss his feet that were nailed to a cross for me and for you and for every person around the world. He loves the world, and I love his word, because the word became flesh, and in his flesh he demonstrated the word to the world. He is an example to every boy and every girl. He is a lover of black people. He is a lover of white people. He is a lover of the unchurched and the assembly under the steeple. He doesn't see the believers' failures, but still takes time to celebrate their faithfulness. It's the power of the Spirit that enables us and gives us boldness when the world labels us. And if you want to label me, please call me a Jesus freak. If that freaks you out, good, because it's better to be good with God than to fight being misunderstood by a world that could never understand. So let it be understood that I don't worship man, we worship Jesus. And although he doesn't need us, he still sees us and pleads with us to run to the cross where he bled for us. His heart bleeds for us, his heart grieves for us, but still graciously grants us a pardon for our treason in a season where the world tries to explain away the work of the Spirit with human reasoning. There's a reason they can't. Because the Spirit is like the wind, and the wind cannot be seen. But loved is the one who believes without seeing the unseen. I'm telling you today that Jesus is something. He's something more. He's something great. And if you want to know him, you don't have to wait. He stands at the narrow path with a key to the gate, and you only have to reach out and embrace his grace. I don't care who's president. I have a king who is always present. I don't care who holds musical celebrity. The voice of the Lord will always be the sweetest melody. I don't care who owns the riches of the globe. My Jesus holds more wealth than one ruby on his robe. I don't care who is the strongest or the fastest. Nothing matches the creator of the universe and his immortal, infinite status. I don't care about religious leaders who died and stayed dead. I'll only worship the one who conquered death and wears a crown on his head. His name is Jesus, and I'm telling you, he's something. He was faithful yesterday, and he is faithful today. I can feel his presence whenever I pray, and when the time comes for me to fade away, I'll remember the day I heard him say, my name is Jesus.
Clever.
It is very clever. Very good bit of poetry. I actually think he should have trusted the words a bit more and turned the music down, but
yeah.
Because to me, it's a drive, but actually the words are so powerful.
They are. Yeah. I just wish that we got British people with that sort of energy. That I mean, that's, you know, you think to yourself, oh, it's another American, but you, I mean, it must be out there. I know there's what, Joshua Luke Smith, he's very, very good.
Yeah. Some of Phil Knox's stuff gets close.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
We need to start pushing that. But yeah, loved it. Very clever.
Very clever indeed. Okay, we are going to dive into the Bible. And we've got a reading from Daniel, I think. Is that right? Who's reading Daniel?
I am.
Excellent. Where are you reading from in Daniel?
I'm reading from Daniel 7, verses 9 to 14. And it's the title of the chapter is Daniel's Dream of Four Beasts, which I've read it before, obviously, but it's quite, I don't know what the word to describe it is. The passage is quite intense and a lot going on. Okay. So I had to read it a couple of times to try and get the gist of it, really. So listen carefully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed, thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All nations and all peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is what will never be destroyed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's go right to the other end of the book, to Revelation, written by John, of course. First century, end of first century AD. And apparently he was on the island of Patmos when he wrote this.
Traditionally.
I've been to the island of Patmos.
The original title of the book, by the way, in Greek was Apocalypse. There we go. I suppose lots of people knew that, didn't they? So I'm reading from Revelation, chapter 1.
Oz, do you know what apocalypse means?
Yes, I do. Unveiling.
Yes, it's
revealing hidden things known only to God.
That's right. And we use it in English to mean disaster or war or...
Yeah, there's like a film, isn't there, Apocalypse Now?
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually what it means is revelation.
Revealing, yeah.
Something being revealed.
There we go. See, today's a school day at shift.
Yeah.
So I'm reading from Revelation 1, chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all people on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Amen. Amen. Thank you both very much. And to stimulate our thinking and our conversation tonight, we've got a sermon that Nick preached on this on Sunday. It's actually from St. Catherine's. So those of you with St. Catherine's links, will, or those of you who've never been into St. Catherine's, will get to see a little bit of the inside of St. Catherine's Eyton, which is a very cute little church building in the corner of a farmyard out on the outskirts of Telford. So if you've got comments or questions, do put them in the stream as we go through. If you want to email in, we'll pick them up next week. So here we go.
Let me pray real quick. So Lord, just thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through your word. Lord, we just ask that you'll speak to us this morning. And will you please give us the ears to hear what you want to say to us today. And Lord, will you soften our hearts so that we can be transformed and formed together through your word. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't real thrilled when I saw that this week's reading came from Daniel and Revelation. I know there are those who just love these books of the Bible, and they just love digging into them. And hopefully I'll become like that one of these days. But for me, there's just so much of these two books that are just hard to understand, and they require a lot of work. And all the visions that are described in these books, I can just kind of do my head in, really. Oh, I've got a fly here. But thankfully, the readings that we had this morning are probably some of the easier parts, actually, of these two books. Because like in Daniel, I think it just paints a picture of what was actually God's desire, and what his desire has always been. And it can help us understand why he chose a nation like Israel to be his people. And ultimately, it may help us to have a richer understanding as to why God chooses to build his community of the church. So in Daniel, we have this big heavenly court scene, right? Where God the Father, or the Ancient of Days, is sitting on his throne and is ready to judge his creation. When the Son of Man, and I think as Christians, we could say this is clearly Jesus as the Son of Man, was presented before the Father Judge. And God's judgment for the Son of Man was to give him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. So the Son of Man was rewarded with a kingdom that will never be destroyed, and he will reign over it throughout eternity. But the part I think that points to the reason and the purpose of Israel, and God choosing Israel, and God's desire for Israel, is just that line that says, all peoples, nations, and languages will make up this kingdom that is ruled by the Son of Man. Because this kingdom isn't just for Israel. It's people of all nations and languages. God's desire was that Israel would bear the image of God to all the other nations around them. So God chose Israel. He favored them. And when they were weak, they were made strong in him. He blessed them, sustained them, loved them, all with the hopes that the other nations would see God through them and return to him. So God didn't simply choose and bless Israel for their own sake and for their own well-being. He chose a nation like Israel for the sake of others, to be the reflection of God to others, to be the expression of God's love to others. And I'm sure most of you are aware, and many of you probably far more knowledgeable about this than I am, but Israel often struggled with being self-seeking, self-serving, and they even closed themselves off from the rest of the world, instead of being the image bearers of God for the world to see. They sought to contain God and all His blessings for themselves. But I'm sure that most of you all are aware that the Son of Man did come in Jesus. And later the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh, granting all nations access and the opportunity to live in the community with God. And so today we have the church just planted all around the world. And today many, many languages will be praising the name of Jesus. So how I interpret this vision, and that's a very risky thing to do from Daniel, is that it has been fulfilled in Jesus. But it's not all over just yet. Because our reading from Revelation, it has some similarities to the Daniel's vision. And we are still waiting for that vision to be fulfilled. But it's a picture of Jesus who will come as a judge. It says, "Behold, He's coming with the clouds," like we heard in Daniel. "And every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the tribes will wail on account of Him. Even so, amen." Even so, amen. Because amen means, so be it. Everyone will see Jesus. Every tribe will wail because we are unworthy to be in the presence of His glory. And I just think about all these stories when people encounter Jesus in the Bible, when they knew full well who He was, and they would just fall at His feet, and even washing His feet with tears because they so longed to be in His presence, but they physically couldn't bear it. Even so, amen. So be it. It's going to happen. I know not all who see Him will long to be in His presence, but for those of us who do, well, be prepared. I think we're going to be a sobbing wet mess. But in verse 5, it says, "To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom, priest to His God and Father." So for those of us who are aware of this, we know that Jesus has already come and has set us free from the judgment that we deserve. But there's so much more to it than that. Like, being freed from deserved judgment is Jesus showing us mercy. But Jesus has also given us grace. He not only forgave us, but He made us a kingdom. The eternal kingdom that will never be destroyed, that was mentioned in Daniel. And He made us to be priests. Now this takes us back to God's original desire with Israel. We haven't just been forgiven and blessed for our own sake, or for our own well-being at this time before the revelation vision has been fulfilled. But we've been set apart in God's kingdom and have been made priests for the sake of others. The church is being built by the Holy Spirit to bear the image of Jesus to the world. So the church exists for the sake of those outside the church. The church isn't supposed to be something that meets our needs. It can, and that's not bad, but it's not just that. But we are meant to be a community that reflects the mercy, the grace, and love of Jesus to those around us. That's why the church exists. It's not meant to be for us, but for others. Let me pray. So Jesus, thank You that You came and revealed the fullness of God to us. Thank You that you've given us the ears to hear that call to follow you. And Jesus, will you please help us to look beyond ourselves, beyond those spiritual and religious things that we think we need. And will you help us to look more to you? Lord, we want to become more like you. Not for our own sake, but for those we encounter. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to have a bit of a chat about that. Sarah's moved.
Yeah, it's gone very dark. Apologies. Bear with me. I'm having internet. But is that a bit better?
Yeah, that's fine. You're just confusing me. Anyway, we're going to...
I'm having internet problems, so I'm moving around a bit.
We're going to have a bit of a conversation about this. Do join in the conversation on the comment stream. Ask questions, your reflections. If you're catching up later and you want to email in with questions or reflections, do that. tim@allsaints-wellington.org. And now we've got a picture of Sarah, but no video. Sarah, your audio still there? No, she's gone completely. Sean, while we're waiting for Sarah, any particular initial things from the comment stream or reflections of your own?
I'm still digesting it, actually, to be honest. The passage I read from Daniel just sort of blows you away, really. The whole idea of what was going on and just trying to... I just find it those sort of passages very difficult to get my head around, if that makes sense. You know, Revelation and Daniel are very, as you said, about the apocalypse and all of that. So if I'm honest, I do struggle with it, really, because it's the language that they use, you know, that sort of thing. It's not what we use these days. And the description of God and Jesus being brought in and all of that. And just, I find it very sort of, it takes me back, if you like. I have to spend time sort of.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the ironies that it's called apocalyptic literature, and that word, as we were discussing a minute ago, apocalyptic means revelation, so it's meant to show us stuff, but what it shows us can be really confusing. It draws the curtains back on heaven, but then heaven's really confusing, so it does reveal heaven to us. But then we need to go, like, our senses are overwhelmed by all these images and pictures, because heaven's quite unlike earth, so our language breaks down and we have these, our senses are overwhelmed by what we see as it's shown to it. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Must be unusual then.
Go on.
Because I find it exciting.
Yeah.
I was having this conversation with somebody a few weeks ago. I can't remember who. I'm pretty sure it wasn't a member of the church or any church. But I was saying, I hope that it comes back when I'm still around here, like in my earthly form, to just experience how that's going to happen. I'm about to cough, so please carry on.
Okay. And
I've got a comment from Liz, if you like, while Sarah was coughing. So Liz says, there's so much in those passages, isn't there? I do find them mind-blowing, but also really exciting, like she said. The thought of seeing Jesus face to face, the incredible splendor of his holiness, the sheer beauty of it, it wakes up a yearning for more in me, more of Jesus. Mm. Yeah. Pretty much what you were saying, actually.
Yeah, I just find it really, really exciting.
I think, David Sims was exactly the same. He's the kind of person that Nick was referring to, who really likes Revelation and all this kind of stuff. And I wonder if particularly people who think more in pictures get on better with this kind of language than people who are more wordy. So I'm quite word-based. And I know Liz is quite picturey.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. She's a writer, but she thinks quite a lot in pictures. And so actually this kind of, it's a slightly different bit of the brain or a different way of processing stuff.
Maybe, yeah. It's just striking, isn't it, the two passages being similar.
Well, one is a quote of the other, so it's not very surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's true, I suppose.
That is how quoting things works. It's meant to be
this. Yeah. I mean, the consensus on the stream is that everybody can't wait to face Jesus, basically. That's what's coming through here, by the looks of it.
who doesn't wake up in the morning and think, oh blimey, I've woke up again, it ain't happened yet then.
Yeah, sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's an excitement about meeting Jesus and about what it's going to be like. What do we make of this idea that Nick was kind of suggesting, this theme of being blessed to be a blessing? And actually, it's for the sake of others. How much, what do we reckon to that?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I think you know, a lot of people say that the experiences that you have are relatable to other people. So, for example, if you've had a situation where, for example, somebody's had, lost a child or something like that, and they've been through that experience with God and they've got through it, and then they meet somebody at church who's had the similar experience, you can actually minister to them and be a blessing to them, because you can turn around and say, well, this is how I got through it. This is what God did with me and how through it. And, you know, you can relate to, be a blessing to them and say, yes, you know, it is actually okay because God is with you like he was with us. I'm speaking from an incident that we had. Obviously, we lost a child and we got through it. But there was, like I say, there was somebody that church had a similar situation, and we were able to get alongside them and be a blessing to them because we share that God was at work.
Yeah. What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think there's that sort of experience, but then that's also the blessing of talents that we have, you know, that can then be a blessing to somebody else. If I think back to my nursing days and all those years nursing, that not everybody can deliver care and what have you, and feel very blessed that I was able to do that, and then being able to deliver that care was a blessing to somebody else that needed it. So yeah, and I think it's very much about realizing it's not a selfish thing then to sort of count your blessings, thank God for your blessings, yeah, absolutely, but let's turn it away from being because that's better for me, turning our thoughts to because of what you can do with them.
Definitely. I had when I was in my church in London, we had this couple that were I didn't know at the time, and you know, they were multimillionaires, and they had a business, and basically what they used to do is, nobody knew, I only found out afterwards, like, but they used to give away pretty much all of their money to bless other people, and they used to get people staying in their house on all this sort of thing, and it was just amazing, and obviously God had blessed them with material, you know, obviously money and whatever else, so that they could bless others, you know, materially, and give them a home and give them food and all that. And it was wonderful. It was a real testimony afterwards, you know, when I found out that it suddenly clicked. I thought, how were they able to do that? How comes they never worked? And, you know, how comes were they had this massive house with a swimming pool and a tennis court and all this, and they had all these people there. But obviously it was God had blessed her that they could bless others.
Absolutely. Everything comes from God anyway, doesn't it? So
yeah.
Yeah. We had lots of people being very excited to meet Jesus. Any kind of reservations about that on the kind of Jesus our judge?
Well, Michelle said, not quite, but similar. She said, I know I'll look a plonker and faint at Jesus' feet.
Don't worry, God loves plonkers as well. Jesus loves plonkers.
Yeah.
Well, he loves as well.
I mean, everybody's just basically saying that you know, they want to, they find the words very poetic, mesmerizing description of imagery. And I was thinking about that passage as well. And obviously the language at the time was, obviously the way they describe things was pretty much their, if you like, their vocabulary, I guess, at the time. That description of Jesus coming in and God being on a chariot of wheels, it says, and all of that, and well, not a chariot, but a throne with wheels. And it was, and I was thinking that was their kind of, that's the only way they could describe it with their language or the way they thought at the time. But I wonder how it would be now if we were to describe it, if we saw that, what words would we use?
Arriving in his limo with his spinners.
Yeah.
Or on, what they're called? Well, those things that fly in and they deliver drugs into prison.
Drones.
That's it. He's coming in on a drone. Yeah.
I mean, we still have drones, don't we? And the state opening a parliament, the Queen still goes in a golden carriage and goes and sits on the throne in Plaza de Westminster. Mm-hmm. We still do have them.
Yeah.
Slightly pretentious.
It's tradition.
Yeah. It is tradition indeed.
It's a fortune in tourist revenues is what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's certainly I do love that whole idea of just, it's just the whole experience and how it'll be, and yeah.
Looking forward to it. Are we ready for it? Well, I suppose we can be thinking about that through Advent. And if
and you've got, I think you have to live each day, making sure that you're ready in some way or another. And because that's the thing, isn't it? Never knowing when that's going to be.
Yeah,
Just making sure that, you know what, if it's at 9:05 tonight, first of all, that'll be a coup for shift church. But what sort of a day have I had today? Have I lived true to him?
And maybe that loops us back to being blessed to be a blessing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's one of the kind of touchstones for us. Have we blessed others with the blessings we've been blessed with today? Mm-hmm. And that's not because we can earn our way into Jesus' good books when he comes back, or that he won't forgive us if we haven't. But it's about just the awareness of the gratitude we have. When Bishop Sarah was preaching at All Saints on Sunday, she used the illustration, she preached on the Revelation passage. She used the illustration of a coffee shop she'd seen, which was called Kingdom Coffee. And on the window it said, "Your Kingdom, Your Way." And she was just like, oh yes, a sermon illustration. Because it isn't. It's God's kingdom, Jesus' way.
Yeah.
I love that. It's not your kingdom, your way. It's God's kingdom, Jesus' way. And even though we haven't seen the full extent of it yet, we can choose to live in God's kingdom now by God's kingdom values, blessing others as we've been, all that kind of stuff. So that when the king does return, we're already living in the kingdom.
Yeah. And his kingdom, not ours, absolutely.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's the problem. Oh, here we go. I'm going to sound about 100 now. That's the problem with this world today. You know, people, a lot of people do want to They see it as, yeah, it's my world, and I'll create, you know, I'm going to live this way and I'm going to do this with my stuff. And like, it's me. And it's like, you know, it's the wrong way. It's just the wrong way. But
well,
youngsters today, eh?
People on the chat are talking about being ready and, you know, have they done enough for God? And that's what sort of people are saying at the moment. And Liz is basically saying that she says about being ready and often think about the things that I spend time on and think about whether they're worth it in an eternal perspective. Mm. This is quite interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
And the answer is, of course, none of us, no human being, has, apart from Jesus, has ever done enough.
No.
But Jesus is enough. Mm. So actually, we don't have to worry or be anxious about whether we've done enough, because Jesus is always enough.
Yeah.
More than enough.
It's just holding ourselves and account and each other accountable to living in the light of that with gratitude, but not becoming anxious or condemned about it, because Jesus is enough.
Always enough, more than enough, forever enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Say that again.
Always enough, more than enough, forever enough.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's great. I like that.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but that's the lyrics from the song. Gyra by Elevation Worship. Yeah,
there you are. You can look it out. Look out.
Absolutely, it's an amazing song.
J-I-R-E-H, probably.
Yeah.
Which is Hebrew for provider.
There you go. And how should I be more than enough? And
vintage will remember the song with Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh.
No, not that. I'm thinking
really. No, not that one.
But anyway.
Oh. Sorry, I'm going to my gospel.
Anyway, all good. So yes, so take it home. How do we model this for youngsters and in our family life, this being ready, and this blessing?
Tough with youngsters, isn't it?
Being blessed to be a blessing. I think the being blessed to be a blessing stuff is a bit easier with youngsters, because we can kind
of see. The being ready thing might be a bit difficult. I suppose one links into the other, though, doesn't it? You know, if you blessed to be a blessing, so just about being grateful for everything you've got, realizing that it's come from God, and to use all of that to help others.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, how do you tell youngsters when the clouds start to split open and the then that's all good. You know, you've got to pick your moments, haven't you? Pick your ways. But I'm sure that Saddleback Kids has done something about this. Default mode with youngsters, Saddleback Kids.
I think there is a way we can share that positivity and excitement about meeting Jesus face to face. That's pretty universal. And actually,
yeah,
we want our kids to know that Jesus is a person we're going to meet.
Yeah, absolutely. And not be afraid.
Mm.
Talk about that part of things rather than how that might occur.
Yeah.
What it might actually physically mean, but the physical side of it just won't come into it then, will it?
So. No.
Yeah. Okay, well, I thought we'd have a bit of a music to reflect this. We've used this at least once, if not twice before, but I think the message is so powerful and it leads into prayer so nicely. We're going to have the Kingdom Song again. It just reinforces some of this stuff, and particularly about being blessed to be a blessing. And then, Sarah, are you doing some prayer for us?
I am, yeah.
So we'll go straight from the song into prayer, please, Sarah, if that's all right.
Yeah, of course.
Cool. Hold on a minute. We're getting there.
seek your kingdom throughout every sphere.
Let us just be quiet for a short moment as we prepare to pray. Lord, we praise you that you are a different kind of king. Thank you for your goodness and kindness in our lives, for your generosity and for loving us. We thank you that your kingdom is unlike any kingdom in the world. Jesus, you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We pray your kingdom will reign forever in our hearts and in this world. We are sorry for the times when we have our own plans and agendas and want to be rulers of our world. Lord, we ask that you rule in our hearts, lead in this world, and govern over your kingdom. Help us know how to live as your kingdom people and spread the good news of the different kind of king that you are. Christ Jesus, we acknowledge you to be king of everything. We offer you all of our actions and pray that the kingdom of your peace be finally and firmly established throughout all of the earth. Amen.
Amen. Well, if there's anything particularly you'd like us to pray for this evening, do put it on the comment stream. Sean will pick it up.
I've got a message of thanks. Ali says, thank you for praying for her back last week, as it's much better now.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I want to thank you that when we come to you and ask for your love and healing power, that you listen to us. Thank you for the actions that you've taken specifically with Ali, and that she's felt your healing power as a result of this prayer. Thank you, Lord.
And Father, I pray that you'd give us real concrete opportunities this week to be a blessing to others, and that when those opportunities come, you'd remind us of what we've talked about tonight, and we'll be able to next week when we're talking again, it would be able to share stories of the way in which you've blessed us and that we've been able to bless others in your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if you do, if you're listening to this later and you have things you'd like to pray for, do stick a message on the Facebook page or drop me an email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Be glad to pray with, for you, whatever, really. So, yeah, real good reflections tonight. Lots to go away and chew on.
Yeah. I've just thought, actually, because you know you're talking about have you done this and have you done that. Next Wednesday, and it'll be out there, won't it? And what date would it be next Wednesday? The 2nd, or would it be the 2nd?
Something like that.
Am I going to be the first person attending a Christmas party?
Probably.
I don't know.
I'm away on a 2-day work meeting, and next Wednesday night is our Christmas party.
There you go. Well, at least it's in December.
Yeah, that's it.
Skin of teeth. And we've got to turn up in Christmas jumpers, and I thought, well, it's the only chance I'm going to get to wear the one where Tim told me last year that's not a proper Christmas jumper.
Why did I tell you that? I can't even remember.
Because it was the stable scene with all the people that weren't really there on it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, and it wasn't a stable. So apart from that, it was really good. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a first. I might not have written my cards and done my shopping, but I'm going to a Christmas party.
Very good. That's all right. Well, I'll tell you what, it'll be a conversation starter with people next week when you wear it, and then you can tell them all. My vicar says this isn't a proper Christmas, yeah, because when Jesus was actually born, it wasn't in a stable and these ones weren't there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you say, what do you mean? And they'll say, what do you mean when Jesus was actually born? And you, well, you see, Jesus was actually born.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in there, you see.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. Don't forget, I'm queen of the T-shirts and the slogans and the conversations. So. Absolutely.
Very good.
Break.
Lovely time, because we're not going to see you. Well, you can catch up afterwards, of course, because it's Shift Church. It doesn't matter that you are on that, so you can catch up.
On YouTube, not Facebook, obviously, anymore.
Yes.
Although only for you. Everybody else can catch up on Facebook.
So. Oh, everybody else can. Yeah, it's just me. Or the podcast.
Yeah, or the podcast. Yeah. Right. Bless you both.
Very good advert.
Bless you all. Have a really good week, and I'll see you next week.
Bye. Have a great week, guys. Yeah.